I love you again. Well rested, I hope. Full of health. We are having this morning, I hope, a very interesting Bhagavatam class. This time I will leave the subject matters which we have discussed so far and go into a different subject altogether. Oh, here comes the garland. Vielen Dank. Da bin ich gar nicht. Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna. We are reading this morning from a prayer. This is so very nice. I think you will like it very much. It's the sum and substance of devotional life, this prayer. So maybe you will pray it in the future also in your life. Oh, Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aham Hare Tvam Padaika Mula Dasanudaso Bhavitasma Buya Mana Smaritava Patil Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotu Gaya Aharitava Padaika Mula Dasanudaso Bhavitasmi Buya Manasmaritasu Tava Pate Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotu Kaya Aham Harita Vapadaika Mula Dasanudaso Bhavitasma Buya Manasmarita Vapate Gunangste Grinita Vakarma Karotu Kaya Yes.
Thank you.
This morning, I think the verse, you do not like the verse in Sanskrit, therefore no one wants to chant. But it's very nice. If you hear the translation, you will regret that you did not chant it. Please, I need just one more minute. And Mataji's, it's very nice, yes. Mula, whose only shelter is the lotus feet. Dasanu dasa, the servant of your servant. Bhavatasmi, shall I become. Bhuyaha, again. Manaha, my mind. Smarita, may remember. Asupate, of the Lord of my life. Gunan, the attributes. Te, of your Lordship. Grinita, may chant. Vak, my words. Karma, activities of service to you. Karotu, may perform. Gayaha, my body. Hare Krishna. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Purport. This verse is a very interesting purport. I would say, let us just have a flash of Sauerstoff, of the ozone, for one moment. We can even, for one moment, yes. Ah, Krishna. Whew. Why did we bring our material bodies to this festival? What a mistake. You should have come in your spiritual body, Gadadha. Would be nice if it would be so easy. Oh, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Please breathe the nice air. All right, so we will go to the purport. This verse gives the sum and substance. You know, you. Birthday means really for the one who has birthday a memory that he's 1 year more has passed and brought him towards death. It is described that Yamaraj sends three letters to each one of us. Gray hair, and I saw it starting here. Hare Krishna. Then failing eyesight. It's also there. And then the teeth start to fall. Now, I do not want to open my mouth because it's so uncultured, but you would see a few teeth missing. This is life. It is not only a joyous experience. It is a harsh reality. We have to die. Hari Bol. So, now let us be very philosophical. Purport. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Dasa Anudasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhatu Parakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one three properties. What are our three properties? Do you have any idea? Was sind die drei Besitztümer, die du hast? Body, mind, and words. Are these your properties, Murari Chaitanya?
Faith.
Vertrauen, faith. They are your properties. Under his direction, one must then engage on three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly. Incessantly means without stop. And one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Hare Krishna. I would like to request all of you, because the verse is so wonderful, that we say it together, and then it will be much easier for us to take full benefit from this presentation. Let us first pay our obeisances. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vasyatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Yadvaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants, who find shelter only at your lotus feet. O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes. And my body always place, excuse me. Always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that this desire to actually again be a blissful servant in the kingdom of love is the sum and substance of our devotional life. We should aspire for this. We should pray for this. And we should know very clearly that this really is the goal of our lives. Prayer has a very potent effect on the mind. By prayer, we very clearly affirm our goal. Also durch Gebete setzen wir unser Ziel ganz fest in uns fest. Es wird etabliert. It is a very powerful means of connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when it is when we are in a situation where we are not so ideally situated. By prayer, it is often seen, if it is a serious prayer, that our whole environment and situation begins to change, because prayer is something which establishes the connection. For prayer to really reach the Lord, there must be one quality. What? Sincerity, says Rogerio. Humility. Faith. I personally think all your answers are wonderful. My personal experience is faith. Because if a prayer must come from the heart, and the quality of the heart really is Shraddha. Shra means heart and Da means to give. If you pronounce a prayer with your minds only, Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be the servant of your eternal servant who finds shelter in you only? This is something. But if it comes from the heart, Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can't, you know, because you can't imitate it. It's not for show. But I think you hear. I try to go in the heart, and for the first thing, I try to do it from the mind. Maybe I'm not a good theater man, so it didn't maybe convince you very much. But no, you must have faith. And if you have faith while you're praying, they will be heard and they will be fulfilled. It's an absolute rule. It always worked, it always works, and it always will work in the future. It's a secret of prayer. They must come from the heart, not from the mind. From the heart, what this practically means is you must have faith in Krishna, that he hears your prayer, and you must be confident, zuversichtlich, that Krishna will fulfill your prayer because you are trying to surrender to him. Now, okay, this was a prayer. This morning I want to talk about some very essential subjects which will help us to come to the goal of praying like Vritasura in this wonderful verse, which scholars like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describe is a prayer which opens a certain chapter in devotional service, which is spontaneity in devotional service. This is a verse in the Bhagavatam which opens this chapter. So I want to explain in this morning lecture how I feel you can or we can make advancement in spiritual life. I think all of you have noticed that we go through times which are changing. I think all of you have wondered where is this going to go. Yesterday we had a discussion where we were talking of how we can save spiritual projects. Some of our projects are not a little bit shaky. Don't worry, Krishna will help his devotees through his devotees, but I think we all know these are intense subjects, times, and these times, what it means for us as individual devotees, each one of us must now be very serious in his or her spiritual life and really ask the question, what should be my mood now? How should I, wie soll ich mich einstellen auf die Zeiten? How should I, you know, oh, this is a difficult word in English. How should I prepare myself or adjust myself? Make some adjustments, fine-tuning, so that I will go very nicely through these times. And not only I will go nicely, but I can do something to help that there is a better atmosphere and that it is easier for people to tolerate. How can I help other people? This, I feel, is very important, and I want to talk this morning about it. As you can hear from my voice, I'm totally fired up about this subject matter. And I wish that all of you hear me with great patience, großer Geduld. Please give me for half an hour, I try to be fast, the most valuable thing which you have this morning, it is your full attention. It is also the lecture, my last lecture during this period, which I will give to all of you. I intend to give lectures each morning until I travel to the next destination. So I have really thought, but most of you are traveling after this lecture to go to Hungary and to go to all the different countries from which you have come so kindly to celebrate with all of us together. I have really thought, what will I tell in my goodbye lecture, my official goodbye lecture to you? And I wish you to know that this is something which is very much in my heart. I will repeat two or three concepts which one of you will know, some of you will know, but repetition is good. From time to time, Rogerio will help all of us by opening the window, maybe every 10 minutes, so that it's easy for us to think sharply, and so on. Good. A devotee who wants to advance needs to be two things: realistic and spiritually idealistic. With realism, I mean he should be a little self-analytical. He should be even self-critical. And he should be prepared to see what is my condition now. With spiritually idealistic, I mean he should understand that it is possible to come to the spiritual platform and solve all the problems of material existence by just changing the level. It is possible. Why can you be realistic and idealistic in a spiritual way at the same time? How can you combine these two opposites which seem to be so completely opposite? You know, we always say to the idealist, be realist. We say to him, you are a dreamer. You don't live, you live in the sky. You don't live on the earth. And we always say to the realist, come on. There are also possibilities which you have not seen. Don't be so pessimistic. Don't be such a düsterling, such a dark face. You know, just see, and it has worked in the past. It has worked for many thousands of years. It's an ancient tradition. Why shouldn't it work with you? So these are at total loggerheads. Also diese Standpunkte streiten sich fast, and they never go together. Never will the two meet, as a philosopher said. But in the spiritual way, the two can meet. Realistic means we see our conditional nature. We see we are a man, we are a woman, we have some man quality and we have some woman quality. Very often it is mixed nowadays in the same body. These are the times. And so on. We should see we have something what in philosophy is described to be a conditional nature. With this word we mean a nature which is limited by material influences. Eine bedingte Natur, oder wir können sagen begrenzte. Begrenzt durch die materiellen Einflüsse. Eine begrenzte Natur. This is there on one side. On the other side, we have what is philosophically called a constitutional side, eine konstitutionelle side. Now this doesn't mean what is usually in fitness training, you know, you have a certain constitution and you can improve it. It's something which is deeper, which is inherent. For instance, I may be sick now with sneezing, but my constitution is very good because I went through the Ayurvedic treatment and I feel very, very strong. Constitution is something which is inside. I don't know if you were aware. A person may be sick outside, but he has a very good constitution. If he has a very good constitution, it's no problem. He would soon throw the disease out of his body. So, when we speak of the second nature, the constitutional nature, we mean what is inherent, was innewohnend ist. That is our spiritual nature. From our conditional nature, there may be still many, many problems in us. We may have certain attachments. We may have certain material desires. We may have certain even mistakes in our character, faults. That is natural. But we also have a constitutional side, a spiritual side. And I feel no one should forget it. Everyone here is quite strong in the constitutional side. Yes, even those devotees who have difficulties at this particular moment in their spiritual life, constitutionally, they are devotees. Do you understand my point? They are great souls. In the Bhagavad Gita, it has been stated, these two natures have been compared with an analogy of the moon. The moon shines, especially these days. I think you had a nice moon darshan. Nityananda's appearance day moon is nice, and then comes the next moon, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. Sometimes on the moon you might have seen little dark spots, but it's no problem, because the moon is full of light, and this light comes from deep within, I mean, from deep. And the dark spots are like covering, dark spots on the moon. So this is how all of us are. Our constitutional nature, we are devotees. I admit that some of you are very strong devotees, very, you know, as we always say, you practiced spiritual life for sure in your past life already. We have many past lives amongst us. Many, a good number, I would say, of past lives amongst us. But no matter if you are a past liver or this life starter, your spiritual natures are already quite manifested, more than anywhere else. Now, these are constitutional. This is what the moon is like. But of course, there are still material qualities surrounding some of us, like spots on the moon. Some spots are not so dark, some are very dark. Haribol. But no matter what, we have a constitutional nature, and we should be idealistic about this. We should say, because I'm a spiritual soul, because constitutionally I'm a part of God, a spark of immortality, if you want to say it in the Upanishadic language. Therefore, whatever spots are on my moon, I have to deal with them. I have to be realistic about it. I have to maybe address some of them. Maybe I have to polish some of them. To treat them. Give the injection of the Grihastha ashram on one spot. Or give the injection of, maybe I have to situate myself better. On one other spot, and so on. This has to certainly be going on. But please, do not forget your healthy spiritual idealism, which I would say is spiritually very realistic. If you become a material realist, then you will give up the process of Krishna consciousness. If you become a spiritual realist, then you will realistically understand, I'm a spiritual soul, I'm a lover of God, yes, I'm a lover of God, a lover of Krishna. Let me come now from the conditional, from the limited area of my life to the other thing. Now, to come there, to come from Sambandha to Prayojana, in our language, that is from living in this world to living in that world, is a process. It is a spiritual path. Many times, because we have our conditional nature, we will see that limitations come. For instance, I have a disciple who always after 1 year becomes totally depressed, and one just can pray to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, please take care of the dark spot on the moon. It is very darkening. It is a mystical spot. It sometimes disappears, and then swoop, because it has not disappeared completely, because there is not yet love in the heart for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, swoop, it comes again. It's like a Hautausschlag, which sometimes goes a little and then comes again. Many of us have our specific skin infections which come and go. Shup, 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 shup. I have it here, for instance. These are spots where it sometimes gets red, and then I don't know what. It's nice to see. It is a new color. It's not a disturbance, but it comes and goes. So many of us have these little things, this conditional things, which are sometimes very strong. Sometimes we are very puffed up and arrogant. Sometimes we are a little bit more humble. Then shoop, it comes again. So in the scriptures it has been said that this is a natural process for a conditioned soul. It will only stop if the cause of the material existence is annihilated. That is, it will only stop at the moment where your attachment to matter or we can say in Sanskrit, karma, transforms into prema, that is, love of Krishna. Only then will be, then this disturbing intervenance of the conditional nature will stop. If you want to become free from your dark spots, you need to develop love in your heart. Love of Godhead, love of the Vaishnavas, and so on. You need to become a lover. Hari Bol. I know if Nina Hagen would be here, she would scream in ecstasy. Yes, yes, I said it all. I mean, we may have different understandings. Lover in here means you may have to develop, you must develop your original rasa with Krishna, the sweet, thick honey, like mellow, ecstatic taste in your loving relationship with Krishna. Now, to come there is a way. Also ist ein Prozess, is a process, it's walking on the path. Most of the time, we will experience, no, not most of the time, some, yeah, many times we will experience that our conditional nature, the dark spots, which come bigger and smaller, will try to divert us from. But a devotee who knows about spiritual philosophy will ultimately not be entirely disturbed. He will understand, my dark spots are becoming bigger now. Yoo-hoo. And he will say, most probably it will, but I will come on the mental platform and become a little depressive for a few days or a few weeks or a few months even. But he will never understand. I'm on my way. And he will adjust again. He will see with great intelligence how he can come back on course. In the Bhagavatam, this process has been compared with taming a wild horse. A horse is very good, but also very crazy. I mean, crazy is not the right word. A horse is good, but very strong-willed. It has its own mind, and it never is the same as the horseman has. I know myself, I had a very strong-minded horse when I was a boy. He was brown, and he has black hair, long hair, and she was so fast. And I was riding on the horse in my childhood, because I was a little wild also, without saddle, you know, and we were really going fast, and he would jump over the fences, and I was really going like, faster, faster, what's wrong with you? But there were times when the horse was just, the communication just stopped between us. The horse did one way, and I even noticed there were times when the horse only had one idea in his mind, how to get me off its back. And then it was a fight. So our conditional nature is sometimes like this. It seems that there's sometimes only one idea in our minds, how to disturb our Krishna consciousness, how to disturb our relationships to the devotees, because we know we are strong when we are in relationship with strong devotees, and Maya also knows this, so she will disturb our relationships with the strong devotees, especially our relationship with spiritual masters or with higher spiritual personalities, or even with Mahabhagavats like Srila Prabhupada. This is a conditional nature. The horse is sometimes very wild. Wild horses drag me away from the path. This very often happens. So, what to do? Listen to this verse. an expert horseman, also ein Zureiter, desiring to tame a headstrong horse, first lets the horse have its way for a moment, and then, pulling the reins, gradually places the horse on the desired path. You understand the example? Sometimes when you have a horse, a wild horse, you must say, then go where you want to go, no problem with me. And then the horse will go, yoo-hoo, and hoo, hoo. And after some time he looks, where do you want to go? I thought of going this way. All right, and then he goes. So this is also sometimes when you're with your mind. You have to sometimes, your conditioned nature. You can't be too tough with it always. Man kann den Geist nicht immer prügeln, zu Deutsch gesagt. Similarly, the supreme yoga process, this is described to be the supreme yoga process, is that by which one carefully observes the movements and desires of the mind. Man looks, what is going on here? And gradually, langsam, Schritt für Schritt, brings them under full control. Please, those who are English speaking, bear with me. I'm getting enthusiastic, and sometimes I must say the German words. It is, I'm sorry, but it's. I will, for 10 minutes, let my mind know this pleasure. He can enjoy it, and then I will bring it back on the path. Hare Krishna. This was an example, by the way. We sometimes feel we have to do something a certain way. And do it, do it. But then, no. You are not the body and the mind. You are not your conditioned nature. You have it. But you, it doesn't mean you are it. You, after some time, it feels when you have given the child what he needs, bring it back, shoop, and continue onwards. And do never become discouraged in this process. It is natural. Sometimes we need a little pause. Sometimes we need a little rest. Sometimes we need a good talk which goes from morning to the night and to the next morning, and it can be totally about the things which we are thinking at the present moment. Sometimes we need an extra full plate of prasadam. Sometimes we need a journey to the holy places. Sometimes we need to just sing and dance the whole night. Sometimes we need to cry. This is a very good, it takes a lot of things out of the heart, tensions, Spannungen. This is all right. Don't be afraid to be a human being. Welcome to the human race. At the same time, do not become a materialistic minded modern illusion fanatic. You can never reach the spiritual platform by material ways. You will need to bring yourself back to the ecstatic, love-filled processes of spiritual life. And you will see that the nectar is there. I have talked in previous lectures about possibilities which a devotee can do in order to, be materially a little bit satisfied, but do it in a way where he does not lose his Krishna consciousness. If you are interested in this subject matter, I know that you are interested, but I will not tell you more about it. I think you have to find it out yourself. A good hint for you is, and we will write it down, the blackboard man, Krishna Sanghita, page 191 and 192. I'm doing it purposefully like this. I will not give you the answers now. You will have to find them out yourself. But this is a good tip. I feel if you read there, you will think in the right direction. I think also it is not necessary for me to explain that this taking care of your conditioned nature shouldn't be done in the mode of ignorance or the mode of Rajagun. Like, taking care of your conditioned nature certainly doesn't mean to drink a bottle of full 70% whiskey. Taking care of your conditioned nature does not mean to dive deeply into the ocean of sensuality. Taking care of your conditioned nature means to do it in such a way that you are not dragged away from the spiritual path. So there you will, if you are interested, but I must tell you very much, it has taken me many, many years to deal with this difficult point, because the preaching in often I found was a little bit einseitig, you know, one-sided only, and we did not talk about this so well. So I needed to think about this. What does it mean to me as a person? And I think every one of you has to do this work in his or her life. I can imagine that this is a subject of modern ISKCON. If you want, we can certainly discuss about this, but I want to go on now. So the next subject, I want to tell you a Krishna Leela now, a Lord Chaitanya Leela, which is very much related to the subject how a devotee can make advancement in his or her life. It is about cleaning the heart and making it a place where Krishna can appear. Many of you have been during most of the lectures in this program, and remember that two times we have spoken about the time. It is very important that each one of us works on building an earthquake-proof, das heißt in Deutsch, ein erdbebensicherer temple in the heart. It will not be possible for us to go through to prepare ourselves nicely for the coming times if we are not spiritually strong, and if we do not live in temple and so on. I spoke with a very nice guest, and he told me, "I my goal is to have my temple always with me." I think this is exactly what we are talking about when we speak of the temple of the heart. You should bring your temple with you. It should not. It should be always with you. Then you will be very strong and effective. Now, to build a temple in the heart, you first have to clean it as much as is it possible. You know, when you start building somewhere, you must throw the garbage or the old things away, and start now we want to have a nice foundation and so on. Lord Chaitanya was teaching this. Lord Chaitanya's Leela always has two aspects. One is, it is just a play where he enjoys the transcendental rasa of ecstatic Krishna consciousness. And the second aspect of many of his leelas, not all of his leelas, are to teach us something. This is now a teaching leela. Before the Ratha Yatra festival in Puri, the big card festival in which the Lord of the Universe is placed in his deity form on a moving chariot. Before this festival, Lord Chaitanya called one day Kashi Mishra, and he was a very wealthy and rich man in Puri and a great devotee, and he called the superintendent of the temple. Here in our temple, this would be Gaurabhavani or maybe Vishwadev, or we have a team of superintendents, Nishingananda. So Lord Chaitanya called them, and then he said to them, "I beg you of one thing. I want to personally clean the temple. Please give me all the facilities." So Kashi Mishra and the superintendent were moved very much in their hearts. The Lord wants to clean the temple? Far out. Okay, then you need 100 new brooms, and you need many water buckets. You will see soon how in India temples are cleansed. You need a lot of water for this. And then the Lord Chaitanya told them more specific his idea. He said, "I'm very happy that you helped me to clean the temple. And this is my plan. When Lord Jagannath leaves his big temple, the Puri temple, he will go on a chariot to a smaller temple where he will stay for 7 days. This smaller temple is called Gundicha. And what I want to do is, I want to build, to clean this smaller temple in which the Lord of the Universe comes from his big temple, and make it a fit place so that the Lord can actually come there and feel very nicely welcomed." And then Lord Chaitanya cried with ecstasy, because he had something else in mind which he did not tell. But I will tell you. Now this is a little esoteric, but I will only say it in 2-3 sentences, because those who know will know, and those who do not yet understand, it will take a lot of explanations and we don't have time. The big temple represents Dwaraka, where Krishna is worshipped in the Aishwarya mood. And the small temple, the Gundicha temple, represents the ever-sweet Vrindavan, where the Lord is worshipped in spontaneous love. So they said, "Fine with us." And immediately they organized the brooms and the buckets and so on and so forth. Then the Lord became very, very enthusiastic. He felt actually like Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani often waits in Vrindavan for Krishna to come in one little kunj. Kunj means like a little Lauben, eine Laube sagt man, eine Waldlaube in German. A little arbor is the English word. So what she does is she decorates, when she waits, the kunj with nice flowers, juti, chameli, malati, and makes it very clean, and makes a nice arrangements for sitting and for eating, and this is like a little forest house. She makes a little very nice and beautiful. So Krishna thought, Lord Chaitanya thought, we want to invite Krishna to come, so first we must prepare it very nicely. And he felt like Radharani decorating the kunj this meeting place and making it very beautiful, cleaning it. So one day, before the actual festival started, Lord Chaitanya got 100 brooms and 100 new water pots. The devotees were very enthusiastic. They stood around him and said, "My Lord, this is all your Leela." They were surprised that now the Lord whom they worshipped was going to personally clean the temple. So this is all your Leela. Lord Chaitanya was very ecstatic. He put sandalwood pulp all over the bodies of his devotees so that they were nicely cooled and refreshed. And then he said, "Let us all go to the temple of Gundicha now." They all went very enthusiastic with brooms, and the people were looking, "Who? The Vaishnavas here are in the cleaning department? This is very unusual." They had water pots, and they shouted, "Haribol, Haribol," and went to this temple. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "First we have to take all the big dirt out of the temple, and we will make a competition, Wettstreit, oder wie man das sagt, kein Streit, ein Kampf auch nicht, was?
Wettbewerb.
Ein Wettbewerb, danke. We will make a Wettbewerb, a competition. I can know how much each of you has cleansed the temple by how much straw you have taken out of it, how much straw you have collected, and you each make your own pile." So they all went in the temple and they tried to get as much dirt out as possible. But when they compared the different piles, they saw that Lord Chaitanya's pile was much bigger than the pile of everyone else. And in this way they understood that the Lord wanted to teach them. You have to clean the temple of your heart, and you have to do it well. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "Now let's do it a second time. One time is not enough. We need a drugi time, a second time." You will see how others will try to influence you to feel like this. How others will say this and that, and maybe some psychology mix is necessary, and so on and so forth. For a long, long time, I must tell you that I was thinking of this question, this realistic question, this skeptic or the skepticism or this doubt. Only very recently, while reading commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I found something which I feel is an answer, at least for my own spiritual life. It is very, very logical. You must know that our process of Krishna consciousness, how it works. We do certain activities with the body and the mind, and these activities are called pravrityatmak, external activities, by using the body, body and the speech. It is said about Hare Krishna, "You have an answer to everything. You are such theoretical people. You live in the head." Sometimes our critics say like this. And our critics, I feel, are sometimes very correct in this analysis. Because in the beginning states, yes, we do many things. We have 64 angas of devotional service. But there is a desired goal of all these activities, and that is that we come to the platform of contemplation, to develop a mood, eine Geisteshaltung, to develop a bath. Bath means emotion, loving emotions directed towards God. The example which Srila Prabhupada has given is the example of teaching a young child to walk. First, the young child will be hanging on his father's hand. He will go through the motions, die äußeren Bewegungen, but we cannot say he walks. This is not real walking, because it doesn't come from inside. He doesn't have the muscles, he doesn't have the steering systems which you need to walk very nicely and avoid the pillar. Kanada, if you don't mind, but yesterday you didn't avoid the pillar, you ran against it. Almost. So this... some joke needs to be there. Sorry, but maybe it wasn't. I'm trying to make the point that the child in the beginning does not really walk. It's only an external motion. But if he continues to hang in there, you know, then something will grow, some muscles, some nerves, some... I'm not a biologist, Gaurachandra could tell us better what complicated activities go on in walking, but it's a certain very subtle mechanism. It has to do with the brain also. Some steering system, isn't it? Some neurons, maybe Gleichgewicht, and so on, is necessary. So this is what the process of what is desired. First, you start with what is called Vaidhi Bhakti, the bhakti which you do according to rules and regulations. Then, by doing it in Vaidhi Bhakti, what you do is you use your body, hands, you know, you cartels, your voice, Haribo, Haribo, and so on and so forth, and this. But then, because they are spiritual activities, if you do them patiently over some time, your mind starts to grow. Internally, your system starts to get in place, your spiritual system. And then you will be able to walk very nicely without any Gleichgewichtsstörung, without any problem with the balance. You won't run against the walls any longer. But you will know, because there is a mood. Have you ever noticed that it is really this which counts? For instance, those of us who have been with Srila Prabhupada have eaten his cooking, what he cooked. Prabhupada cooked and he used the same recipes, you know, in fact he gave us the recipes, but when you ate his food, you can't believe it. If you ate a little drop of that, but it is very rare. I mean, I really wish we could go back in time, maybe by using a time worm, and go back and pick some food from there and bring it into here. But maybe this doesn't work, this physical principle here. And if you could taste, but all devotees who had the opportunity to get some food of Prabhupada knew. It was the same cooking, the same preparations, but there was a mood. Love for Krishna, very strong. It can become so strong that it is described to be first smoking, and then it's like blazing. Blazing. It's a real strong force, this love for Krishna. And this is really what Krishna wants to see. In other words, we have to come from the external cooking to the internal cooking. We have to come from the external preaching to the internal preaching. We have to come from the external kirtan, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, to the Krishna kirtan, the internal kirtan. This is desired. We are Westerners, we are very superficial, also oberflächlich. We think, oh yes, we can analyze everything very fastly, very quickly, and then come to our conclusion. But there's, we often lack the depth, die Tiefe, which is required to go and get the nectar, Haribol, get in the mood, to get in the bhava. If you only do the external activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, there will be a time when you will repeat the words of our critic. Yes, I tried so hard. It did not work. And so on and so forth. When does your promised results come in my heart? So on. Eventually it will come. Therefore it is described in the scriptures that it is so important to get into this. The analogy has been given of a fire yakya. When someone, a priest, prepares a fire yakya, this is very good, it is very spiritual. But only at the time when he chants the mantras, Swaha, and the fire comes, and Vishnu comes in the fire, God comes into the fire, then the fire yakya is proper. Srila Prabhupada describes what I've just told you as the mental culture of Krishna consciousness, the inner culture of Krishna consciousness. And this will take place if you become aware of cleansing the temple of your heart two times. Not just one time, but two times. Of the groovy things, the gross things, and the subtle things. Thank you very much. I could talk now for a minimum of 5 hours. I have notes on this, in fact, for a whole week of talking. But I will stop here. And see if you have any questions at this moment. Thank you very much for hearing me. I'm very grateful. Ich bin sehr dankbar. Some of our devotees have to go. Vielen Dank, dass ihr da wart, Mangamaya. Haribol. Alles Gute. Das heilige Donnerwetter ist über uns gezogen. Jetzt wird's friedlich, keine Angst. Murari Chaitanya.
Saying that austerity is a good and related in that is like example of this one ashram man or yeah. So I want to ask with things Krishna is more than this, with this some austerity is
Spanish, yeah. Some devotees, there are two sides of in devotees. One side says, yes, we must do austerities, we must become more determined, we must become more serious, more spiritual. And the other devotees say, well, we did this for a long time. Now we really have to take care of the social aspects. We have to make our vanashram. I feel we can't, and Murari Chaitanya says, which of the two groups pleases Krishna more? I feel a third group pleases him. The third group is a devotee who takes care of both sides, of his conditional side by situating himself properly or herself properly, and the spiritual side. Now, it's very important to note that you cannot say to all devotees, situate yourself like this. Each one is an individual. It has been described that one of the mistakes a spiritual person can do is take on too much austerity. For instance, if I would take on the incredible austerity of Syamananda to manage a temple, I would be ruined in one day, most probably. Because it's sometimes so intense. This austerity is not my austerity, the managing austerity. I will become mental and, you know, dysfunctional and so on. Maybe, hopefully not as, I mean, I'm just saying something. My austerity will be to do my service and to become very determined in that. Or, let me say, there is an austerity of a brahmachari, a celibate monk, who does not speak with women, who does not look at women, and all of this. But if the grihastha would do this, the householder, it would be wrong for him. It would totally create problems for his relationship. Husband and wife should be happy in their common, in their relationship. See, our new grihasthas are talking and talking and talking. It's good. Then they will, you know, start to meet themselves. You know, they, you know, I obviously one can talk nonsense and one can talk, this is a Hare Krishna. I don't have to say this or make it so clear. You are intelligent people yourself. But I'm just saying there are different austerities for different persons, and it's not good to follow the austerities of someone else. Haridas Thakur may chant 192 rounds. Is it 92 or 96 even? 92? 3x64 ist 192 rounds. But if we would do it 192 rounds a day, and you really have to stop eating and sleeping, isn't it? I think your mother once did, Padmavati did, and it was really austerity. Now, maybe one can do it for a day or 2 days, but if one would do it for a long day, it would be, for a long time, it would not be so good, because one wouldn't sleep enough, and one wouldn't eat enough, and then become a little bit diminished. Man würde also ein bisschen zurück, also nicht ein bisschen, man würde ganz schön auf den Zahnfleisch gehen. After some time. So, yes, we all must find our place. I think here in Goloka Dham, for instance, devotees have marked, we have a very nice householder community. Many of the devotees do not live in the project. I do not know if you know. They have houses, our grihasthas have houses in the village, in the Abenteuer, it's called, Abenteuer village. There is food production, not food, these karobis, energy riegel, and what is it, you know, energy balls, and I don't know all the products, many nice products offered to Krishna with love and devotion. And then we have a baker here who bakes and who sells bread to the people, prasadam bread. Our desire is here to build like a community where each one is happy. As I said, we are in the beginning, this project, you know, we are working on it very, very hard, and if you want to help us, if it is possible, yes, we need devotees. I know they will come, because Krishna is on the altar. Krishna is attracting the soul stream. He just wants that we become a little serious and bona fide, and it will all come. Krishna is in control. Yes. And then we have our brahmacharis who go out, you know, who now say, we can't stay longer, this is now 9:30, this lecture is so long, we must go out and go to the people and give them Prabhupada's books. Very good. Go in the cold, they look like Eskimos, you know, because it's so cold, and then, please take this book. Oh, no, I'm more in the material side, I cannot take spiritual book. No, you can, see, it is not so difficult, and they try to convince the people and so on to do something for their spiritual cultivation. So on. We want to make this project very nice. Veera Chandra.
You mentioned this six subtle.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first one.
Nishidacha, that means activity which is not acceptable in the Vedic life. What could it be? Well, look at your life, maybe you find one. Reading the newspaper on, well, we don't need to go into the details. Yes, maybe I can see first if there are questions to this lecture, but then we should go in all subject matters because it's the last chance where we see each other. But we don't worry, we will not go for so long because now we have had a long festival and you need to leave. Are there any questions? Yes, I see in the back.
The question is if you can give us an advice what to do to clean the yard of the temple and surrounding.
Uh-huh. I think first of all we must understand what is the yard and the surrounding of our temple and then know how to clean it. I must say, what could be the surrounding on the temple of the heart? I would say these are relationships to other devotees. But this is only a personal answer. There could be other answers given to this. It's a picture, and a picture has different interpretations. But I personally have seen, if you just take care of your own spiritual life and ignore devotees and have either distant relationships or even worse, troubled relationships with devotees, you can't progress so easily. Work on your Vaishnava relationships. Hare Krishna. Yes? Other questions? No, then we will just go to Petrak and I will answer your question in private because I can sense the atmosphere is, yes, we will hear you, but we need to go. Let us go. No, stay. Why go? Such a nice association. Why go? Stay. One day this will be possible, but now we have to. So this will be the last question, and I will answer your question personally. Yes, Petrak. Yeah. Would it be nice to have done it before in writing and so on, but you do it now. Yes.
Newspapers and things like this influence our life, because when we strictly follow something, we don't read anything and something like that, and at one point we have a desire to do something with it. So education is important in its influence.
Yes, newspaper reading. Yes, something like that. You see, there's nothing wrong in newspaper reading. I wanted to give an example which I did not give because it is a very uncultured example. I don't want to, you know, you're all so cultured people, I don't want to talk like this. Newspaper, sometimes it's good to read newspapers. You may also be in a service where it's absolutely necessary. Like our finance minister in the temple, they need to know a little bit what is going on. Ooh, the Wirtschaft is tumbling. Better we should put our Lakshmi into land as an example. I do not know. I'm not good in finances. I'm a simple monk and I want to remain one. But as an example, for some it may be very necessary. I always read newspapers in the plane. My first thing which I always want to know is what's going on in Serbia and Kosovo, because I like preaching so much there. I always look there. This is my interest. And then I will see if there are new wars somewhere, you know, which I don't know about. And then sometimes as a preacher I need to be aware of what's going on and give an example. For instance, when you talk in universities, you can't talk so on such a high spiritual level as you talk when you talk before devotees. It may be important, but don't forget the world is a dream. You study a dream. Prabhupada once said, and I want to end my Prabhupada often newspapers were read to him. He was taking his massage, there was nothing to be done, and then he told the devotee, read the newspaper. And then